In a few minutes, the nuclear power industry seems to have gone fission. I'm David Brancaccio. The data are in, showing slightly more people signed up for unemployment benefits the week ending last Saturday. 870,000 more people, 1.7 million if you count the expanded pool of eligible people created to deal with pandemic layoffs. That's better than in the spring, but in any other year than this one, a number like that would have been seen as a disaster. Many a Thursday, we consult Diane Swonk in Chicago. She's the chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton. Hi there.
Good morning.
Been really hearing the sounds of a chorus here, haven't we?
We have. The Federal Reserve has come out and singing in sync with each other, pleading for Congress to do more because the Fed is reaching the limits of what it can do itself. It's running out of rabbits to pull out of hats. And the economy is still in a very deep hole of a recession, despite a bounce back that we saw in the initial months after the hit of COVID-19.
Interesting statement from one of the Fed presidents, Eric Rosengren, Boston Fed. He was suggesting that, you know, he thinks the economy is worse than the data reflect. I mean, what could that mean?
Well, what we're starting to see is some scarring take place in that the COVID recession is metastasizing into a more longer lasting and traditional recession hitting more groups of people. Many people look at the COVID crisis as something we could just, like a natural disaster, snap back from and rebuild. And what we're starting to see now is scarring and much more broad-based losses hitting other parts of the population. Most notably, even college-educated workers are experiencing a worse situation today than they did during the Great Recession. The unemployment rate among the college educated is at 5.4%. That's higher, almost a half percent higher than it ever hit during the Great Recession. And that's from 25 years old and up. It does not include all those new college graduates that just graduated into the COVID recession.
Diane Swonk at Grant Thornton, thank you so much.
Thank you.
In early trading, the Dow is down 43 points, 0.2%. The S&P 500 is down a single point. The NASDAQ is up 2 points, which we'll call not much. The annual World Nuclear Industry Status Report is out this morning. It finds the number of nuclear plants running everywhere on Earth is now at a 30-year low. Some proponents see nuclear as a low-carbon way to help countries meet climate targets. Yet, nuclear plants go awry. Plus, there's what to do with the spent fuel. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab looked at the report. What are some of the drivers of this decline?
Well, there are two things happening at the same time here. The fleet of nuclear reactors is reaching retirement with an average age of 31 years old, which might sound young to us, but according to the International Atomic Energy Agency, most nuclear power plants are only operable for 20 to 40 years. Meanwhile, the industry is struggling with investment, which means the number of new projects being added has slowed down. At least 60% of the new projects currently being built are behind schedule.
I mean, some of this must be competition from investment in renewable energy.
Yeah, last year, $31 billion went to the construction of new nuclear plants. That's only a tenth of what was invested in wind and solar power.
And the pandemic affects everything, even this, right?
Definitely. I mean, between lockdowns and the fact that more people are working from home, global energy use has plummeted. And because the end of this pandemic isn't in sight, the report says it doesn't expect electricity use in some places to bounce back to regular levels for months or possibly years. And this creates a problematic money loop because reduced electricity demand means lower energy prices. And lower energy prices means even less interest from investors in building new plants. The report says adding to the global fleet may largely depend on government stimulus packages.
Kristen, thank you.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
Mexico and the U.S. are deeply connected at so many levels, including the car and truck industry. Car plants in Mexico reopened in May. KJZZ's Mexico City Bureau Chief Rodrigo Cervantes has a status report.
More and more cars are on the streets of Mexico's capital city, and this is good news as its automotive industry reopens, but Mexico's COVID-19 cases are still rising. Mazda has a plant in central Mexico, a hub for many automakers. Miguel Barbeito is Mazda's Mexico's president and CEO, and with the pandemic, the company's 2020 forecast for production doesn't look good.
We are expecting that the industry is going to drop around 35 to 40%, so it's a big number.
The new U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement took effect on July 1st. It requires the auto industry to standardize worker salaries and use more materials that come from the three countries. Barbeito says Mazda is getting ready for that while dealing with the pandemic's protocols.
So we need to work hard.
Unions are concerned about current working conditions. Benedicto Martinez is a coordinator of Frente Auténtico del Trabajo, one of the unions in Mexico with members in the automotive industry.
Yes, many workers fear the virus, but they need to bring food to their families.
He says unions are watching the pandemic protocols carefully at factories. Both the U.S. and Mexico's economies are depending on the automotive industry. Pedro Tello is an economic analyst in Mexico City.
Without a doubt, reigniting the auto industry will help to gradually normalize the economy.
Large companies in Mexico, like automakers, have not received any tax incentives or loans from the federal government.
Countries and governments that are not doing their homework, supporting their economies during the pandemic, will face a longer crisis.
And Tello says thanks to the pandemic, countries like Mexico may lose companies and jobs. In Mexico City, I'm Rodrigo Cervantes for Marketplace.
And did you see they're having luck training dogs to sniff out asymptomatic people with coronavirus? The early data is good in a test they're running at the big airport in Finland that suggests coronavirus produces a smell of some kind, which could prove useful. Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.